Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to your latest installment of the Gersnet Weekly Podcast, hosted by myself, Craig Gray. We are the Independent Rangers podcast, made for fans, by fans, and all of our content is absolutely free. You can get us over at gersnet.co.uk, where you've got access to the forum, some great articles, and a wonderful history archive as well. And you can also get us over on Twitter at gersnetonline. We are live tonight on YouTube, folks. We'd ask that you like and subscribe to the channel if you're enjoying our content. And just before I introduce our guest this evening, I need to give a shout out to our partners over at Forest Precision Engineering. They are a subcontract Glasgow-based engineering company, and they've been a big commercial supporter of Rangers for many years. We're absolutely delighted that they're backing your podcast. You can get them over at forestprecisioneng.com. And you can also visit the Forest Precision Executive Lounge, a stunning new hospitality area within the historic main stand. For information on how to book this unique and intimate space, you can email the club via hospitality@rangers.co.uk. Wonderful Sunday for us today on the podcast. Start off today with my guest, Mr. Alan Rogers. Alan, take it you had a good day like I did, mate.
Yeah, not bad, not bad. I'm away from home at the moment for work. So I'm in a hotel room at the minute. So I didn't see the game. I wasn't at the game today, but I saw it on Rangers TV. And most enjoyable it was.
That's terrible. I mean, you know, the first game after the club's put out this new initiative, you know, back the team, go for 90, stay for 90, and you don't even show up.
But again, as
you're
I say,
up for the title fight.
I am in a hotel room, so I have ordered Bangkok Chick Boys on the TV, so it's all good.
Well, as long as you're not getting billed for it, who cares?
And I've got to say, if anybody watching doesn't watch Alan Partridge and doesn't understand that reference, just ignore that. Don't think I'm an oddball, right?
Also join us tonight, Mr. Jamie Martin. Jamie, how you doing? I take it you had another good Sunday as well, mate.
Yeah. I kind of anticipated this kind of Sunday. I thought the other game was going to end up a draw. I would have preferred the 0-0, but I'll take the draw all day long, and I was winning. So, yeah, a very good Sunday.
Absolutely. Alan, I'll start with you then, mate. In terms of the starting 11, the big team news was the two new guys in straight from the start. I think we all wanted that. What was your thoughts on the 11 and more specifically on those two guys' performance?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was the right decision to put them straight in from the start. You know, certainly Tuchuani's been playing for Stumgratz. I know Scott Wilson hasn't played since, I think, November it was. So he's always getting a wee bit rusty. But I think it's good to get them in, get some minutes in the legs. You know, the season is in the kind of closing stages, just about, you know, the end of January. So you want to get minutes in these guys' legs so they can meaningfully contribute for the rest of the season. And I thought it was the right call. You know, it's a home game against Dundee. With the greatest respect to them, it's a game we should be winning. So you need to get these guys in, get them used to the league, and let them know exactly what it is they're going to be facing for the next few months. And I thought they did well enough. You know, Scott Wilson, I think you could tell he was a bit rusty. But I've said before on this podcast, you know, the way I think you can spot a player is how he takes the ball. And you can see when Scott Wilson was getting the ball, his touch was great. He was setting himself straight away. He didn't need to take a second touch. You know, he knew how to receive it properly. And I thought that was really promising for him. He obviously had a lovely ball in for the goal that was disallowed, correctly disallowed, unfortunately, for us. So that's just a wee glimpse of what he can bring. But I was really glad to see them in, because I don't like this sort of, let's sign a player and give him 3-4 weeks to bed in, get training and get used to his teammates and things like that. I think the best way to learn is get on the pitch and play with your teammates in a competitive environment. So I was really pleased to see them pitched in from the start.
Yeah, me too. Jamie, what was your thoughts on those two starting and their performance as well, mate?
Yeah, I kind of anticipated they would start. Olsen, I wasn't completely sure about, because I know he's not played from really mid-November. You can see that he's badly needing some match fitness, hence why I think it was 53 minutes he lasted, and 54. So they're pretty much a minute between them, the two of them coming off. But looking at the injuries we had with Barron, Chukwuane is an ideal number six. You can see he's got an engine. He can pass the ball. I was looking at his stats after the game. He's 90% accuracy of his passing. He had a shot on target as well. And I think the more game time he gets next to Raskin, I think he'll really flourish. Raskin looks a better player going forward for me as well. I think he'll allow that. I think that's why he's obviously got him in. to play that holding role as a six, which we spoke about in the last show. That was the four positions that we're looking at was a six, a right midfielder on loan, a left back, and the other position they were looking at was a centre back. So the only one we've not got is the centre back. But I thought the two of them looked comfortable on the ball. Olsen as well. He had quite a high accuracy. I think it was over 85% in terms of keeping possession. Passage was quite accurate. He set up the goal that was chopped off as well. He set up a couple of chances. But yeah, all's good. I think they'll be two good additions. I think they just need minutes behind them.
Yeah, that's it. And it's, you know, it's a shame we can't play them in Europe as well. You know, that's a bit weird though, that rule, because, I mean, obviously UEFA have allowed the competitions now to continue into January when there is a transfer window. So I don't know. It's just one of the things, I suppose. But no, definitely ideal to get them put in. Alan, I mean, there was a wee sort of, a few wee moans and groans in the first half. Admit myself, the performance wasn't, you know, overwhelmingly great, but at the same time, we were still taking shots. We had a couple of sort of half chances. The one for Chiawane, I thought, could he have done a wee bit better, maybe tried to lift it. He's still got a shot on target, I suppose. Asgard's hit one. Tav had a couple of shots on target towards the end as well. So you could see, as the half grew on, we were creating more chances. But, you know, I've sort of said it in my notes, is it that we're just maybe not getting a style of play that we're wanting just now, or are we maybe also having to look at who we're up against in terms of Dundee? To be fair to the man Presley, he does set up quite well. You know, he's gotten a point at Ibrox this season, they're beating Celtic this season as well. They were desperately unlucky against Hearts last week, so they are a tough nut to crack. And also as well, I thought the referee, Kevin Clancy, he stopped and play every 2 seconds for something. So when you're trying to get into a rhythm and a flow and stuff like that is going against you, I don't think that's going to help as well. So I understand the sort of moans and groans, but, you know, I thought even in the first half, when whilst we weren't spectacular, but we were also fairly comfortable as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the key. It was a stodgy performance, but, you know, Dundee played well enough. And they just kind of kept us at bay. They were letting the centre-halves have it and come up the pitch, and they were confident they'd be able to defend the box, which they largely did. But they didn't really attack too much. They got up the pitch on the odd occasion, but Butland didn't really have anything to do. Nothing of note, anyway. So I thought we were always in control of the game, but, you know, we have seen it quite a lot over the past few seasons. Rangers being in control of a game, but just not being able to get the breakthrough. You know, cannot get through a low block when we allow teams to go back and settle into their formation. And I think Rangers were guilty of that. Just a bit slow to get the ball forward, getting it forward close to the box and then passing it out wide or passing it back and just letting Dundee get settled in. And that's where we struggle. I do think we struggle more with that sort of thing when Miowski's in the team. I think he's struggling a wee bit and he's not contributing enough for me. And I thought that played into it a wee bit. But, you know, it's one of these things. At halftime, it was a wee bit tense just because it was a bit flat. But look, games last 90 minutes, you know, and as we saw today, you've still got half the match to go ahead and win it, and that's what we did, thankfully. So I don't think anyone should be too concerned about a relatively flat first 45.
Yeah, Jamie, Alan mentioned Miowski there, and I was saying it to the guys round about us. I mean, I thought he was pretty poor today, again, and I was saying to the guys next to us, you know, I feel like he's the type of guy that he maybe plays well when he's the main man and by far the best player in the team, but he's went to Girona in Spain. It's obviously a completely different level. Struggled to get into the team there. He's at Rangers now. Obviously much higher pressure and better players than Aberdeen. And I just think for some of these domestic games, it just doesn't occupy the defenders a lot for me. I know, obviously, Chermiti was ill, so fair enough, he's no starting. But I think we desperately need someone that can occupy those defenders. I mean, Chermiti's been doing it fairly well the last month or two, but I think the sort of concern with him is still that he is only 21, and, you know, whilst he put in that belt of a performance over there a few weeks ago, that I've still not seen it consistently enough from him.
Yeah. Now, Miowski's showing he even down at Kilmarnock, I stayed in Kilmarnock then, and I went to watch him, and he looked good that day. He's had flashes. He's had little flashes, glimpses, and you say there's a goal scorer in him. But again, you're right in what you say. He's just not doing it consistently enough. I get the feeling, I know what it's like. I mean, when you play the game, you're kind of, especially as a number nine, you're expected to score goals. They brought him in and it looked like he was going to hit the ground running and be the number nine. And then it kind of turned around. Chermiti started hitting form. And Chermiti's performances have always been half decent in terms of his hold-up play, link-up play. And he puts in a wee shift. In the last 4 or 5 weeks, he's really excelled. He obviously hit the ground running at Parkhead, scored 2 good goals, and bullied him. And we need a striker that's going to do that. Miowski, I don't think he's got that in his game. I don't think he's physical enough. So, in the transfer window, I know it closes a week today, 7 o'clock next Monday, actually. So, I don't know if they'll keep a hold of Danilo. He's come on and scored the goal today. But you can see we're definitely lacking a number nine, like a real, real goal poacher, somebody that can finish. That's very evident because we've had that in the past. We've been spoiled with McCoist and the likes of a Chris Boydie and people like that, Morelos even to a certain extent. We've just not got that box player at the minute, and I think we're lacking it. It clearly states it anyway because we've got James Tavernier as our top scorer, 9 goals. And then my next top scorer is actually another defender, big man, Fernandez. He's got 4. So that clearly highlights that we are lacking a striker that can finish. And we are creating chances. You touched on it earlier, Craig. We had 19 shots today, 4 on target. So that wasn't really clinical enough. We were clinical against Celtic in the second half with 3 chances and took them. And that's football for you, but I would expect. I mean, I didn't think we played particularly well today. First half was very flat. I was quite surprised at his selection on Thursday night. I didn't think he would start as many of his first start in 11 on Thursday night. And I think that's reflected on the squad today. I think a couple of them looked a little bit flat in their performances. But second half, we came out. And we got the penalty, which was a penalty. Taff tucks it away, and it was a good time to get the goal because it lifted us. The big Elvis is going to come, Stephen Presley. I played with him in the reserves at Rangers. I know big Elvis really well. He was going to come, set his stall out, defend, try and frustrate us. They did it early on in the season. And that's the way they were going to go. But they never really threatened. I think Butland had 1 save, what I counted. It wasn't even a chance. It was just a save that you... They didn't look like they were going to go and take 3 points or even get a point off of us today. I think it was just we went up in the second gear in the second half and we got the result. But Danny Rowe's not worrying. He's not worrying about results and performances, sorry, the minute. He's just worrying about getting these points and the momentum's fantastic. 8 wins in a row. And the good thing is we've got a guy there now who's got the belief in the dressing room. Obviously, the guys upstairs, the board, we've got belief in him. They've backed him in the window, bringing Chukwuana, and obviously they're looking to Olsen as an option to buy at the end of the season. We'll see how that goes. And obviously Romain's coming in at left back. We'll add a bit of steel, which I think we're needing at left back. So they've clearly backed him, and rightly so. And this guy deserves all the applaudits he gets because he's got us organised now. He's got the basics right. We're defending a lot better. We've hit 5 clean sheets in a row as well now, by the way. So we're clearly defending a lot better. We've got a set-piece coach that's working. We're getting short corners. Last couple of goals we've scored. So he's got his organised. And he's got the basics right. And if you get that right and you keep winning your home games and nicking points away from home, we're in a great position to win that league now.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with you in that point, Jamie. Alan, in terms of the strikers, I think obviously we've got 3 guys there. They've all got their sort of plus points where it seems that they all seem to have purple patches for about 2 or 3 weeks. Then nobody's good for a couple of weeks. Then one of them's good for a couple of weeks. Then nobody, and it just continues on. Because remember when Danilo had a wee sort of Purple Patch earlier on, he scored that goal against Hibs and whatnot. You know, they might be getting another one now after he scored that goal today. But I still think we desperately need another striker. I know people are saying, well, can we really bring in another one and have four there? I think you need to. I think you look at the last time we won the league, we had four strikers, we had Morelos with Defoe and Eaton. I think if we're serious about going all out for this league, you need to go and bring in someone else, even if it is a loan deal. Well, you know, if we can get another loan deal, and I don't know what the rules around that are, but we desperately need someone in, and it will just give a place a lift. And I think as well, if we did bring someone else in, it puts the fear of God into the other three players to say, right, wait a minute, if I'm struggling to get a game when I've got two players here for competition, what's it going to be like with another one? So, I mean, I don't know the practicalities of bringing in a fourth striker, but I think we desperately need one.
Yeah. I mean, I think so. I mean, as you point out, the strikers that we have, the three that we have their own individual qualities, and they can all bring a certain something to the team. But none of them are a 20-goal-a-season guy. Yeah. Absolutely not. And that's what you need to win the league, in my view. You either have, you know, four guys up top getting 15 each, or you know, one guy leading the line getting 25 or some such thing. And none of those strikers are in that category for me. Now, I've got to be honest, I think if we were to bring one in, I think one would definitely go out, and it seems obvious that would be Danilo. Yeah. And I think that's probably the best move, to be honest, as much as we're a bit down on Mayovsky. He's only been here 6 months. You know, he's $4.5 million or something like that. The chances of us loaning him out are, I think, are really slim. I would suspect Danilo would go out and one other would come in. And it's a case of, can we meld a system together that allows us to play guys like Skovolsen and Moore and Asgard and Chermiti and this new arrival to try and get us the goals that we're going to need? Yeah, because it's obvious that's where the team lacks at the moment. You know, creativity, you need your midfield and your wingers to create. Yes, you do. But, you know, as Mark Haley always says, the number nine plays a part in creation as well, in terms of his movement and dropping back and making space for others. And that's what I think Miowski's really poor. I think Tramiti's better at it. But we still don't have a real top-level operator in that sense, the way Morelos used to do. You know, Morelos was good dropping back, using his backside, holding off defenders, occupying two men, all this kind of stuff. We needed that kind of all-action centre-forward. And I think that's what we really need now. Again, can you get someone like that in January? It's tough. It's really tough. Unless you're shelling out big money, which I'd be surprised if we did. But, you know, I think from listening to Danny Rule in press conferences, it sounds to me like he realises that's a problem. And I would imagine if there's money to be spent, that's where it will go, in this window at least.
Yeah, because, I mean, I still think the four, I know it probably would be more likely that it'll be free, you know, regardless of who it is. But I still think you need someone else in. We'll see. In terms of Danilo, Jamie, if it was him that was to go out, do you think that would be the right move? I mean, I know Danilo, I think for £6 million, no, he's obviously not been worth it. But he still is a goal scorer there, and I actually think he's probably the best finisher at the club. And you could see it even with his goal today. It's outside the box, he's calm, he's composed. The problem is he's not consistent enough, but I still think even from the bench he can do something. I think the season before we signed him, he was at Feyenoord, and I think he scored something like 18 or 19 goals in the Eredivisie and helped them win the league. But about 12 or 13 of them came for the bench. So I think if you can get him in a position to maybe come on and impact a game, kind of like he has today, to get that killer goal, scored a couple of goals against Celtic from the bench as well, I would rather that. But Alan's also right in what he says. It's like, if there was going to be one going out, I would probably rather it be Mayovsky, but we've just signed him in the summer. What are the chances of us getting a loan deal out for him, a permanent deal? It is probably quite low, so Danilo does seem to be that one that is most likely to move on.
I would agree with that. I think Danilo would be the one. Obviously, simply because he's been there for quite a few seasons now. And his price tag was big at the time, £6 million they spent on him. I'll be honest, in January, I don't think we'll get anybody that's going to be of his kind of quality finishing. I think I would probably wait. I think that's what they've done. I think they're probably looking now. I know they are. They're definitely looking now for a striker in the summer. I think they'd be probably like to get Danilo off the wage bill. I know he's on quite a sum of money and has been for a while. But I spoke to Alex Ray when he was at the club with Clement. Used to speak to Alex regular, and Alex Ray was telling me that Danilo was the best finisher in training when they did strikers situations and kept him behind doing some finishing and whatever. He said he was unbelievable. He wanted one finishing. So he is useful off the bench. I mean, he showed that today. He'll come off and he will get chances. And if he gets half a chance, he'll hit the target, that lad. So I think he'd probably be good off the bench for us, a 15-20 minute man, where if you're maybe, you know, you're lacking a goal scorer, or you're maybe just thinking, I need to change it. He's proven that he can come off the bench and score. So I would be inclined to keep him to the end of the season, and then I'd have a look at moving him on then, personally.
I think I would prefer that. Again, though, obviously it's football, and, you know, anything could happen. So, but we are at least now in a position where we're getting players back and other players in. Barami came on today. Finlay Curtis, I want to actually touch on him in a wee second, Alan. I mean, Rabbit Matondo, he came on and won a great penalty against Aaron a couple of weeks ago. Oliver Antman as well. In fact, no, I'll start with Antman first, Alan. Yeah, he's been back fit for a few weeks, obviously, above signed Scott Olsen. But he's just no played at all under Danny Rowe. I mean, I was quite excited when he first came in and he put in a cracker of a first performance against Pilsen. Since then, he's been pretty garbage, let's be honest. But at the same time as well, the guy's a full international player. I think he's actually one of Finland's best players. He's still fairly young. We signed him for a decent fee in the summer. I mean, should we still not be looking at these sort of squad players to try and do something and just seep out as much as we can until the end of the season and then try and maybe move them on? Because, as we mentioned with the strikers department today as well, they're not scoring enough goals. So we're going to need these sort of fringe players like Barami and Antman and even Matondo to contribute something whilst they're still here.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's right. I think for Antman, I mean, look at him now. Obviously, we've got Scott Wilson on the right. You know, Gassama's played on the right. Curtis is coming on the right. So you could say Antman's now fourth choice in his first choice position, which for a £3.5 million signing is really odd. I agree with you, though. He's not really done anything in a Rangers jersey apart from that one debut performance. And I just wonder if it's a case of, you know, he's been on the bench not getting minutes. You just wonder, is it a case of the manager just doesn't fancy him? You know, we saw it, he came in with Lyle Cameron and he just, on the bench a couple of times, he just, no, you're going out. And you wonder if he's taking the same view of Antman to say, look, you're going out, you're just not my type of player. Obviously, Danny Rose targeted a lot of big physical players. You know, guys 6 foot plus, broad shoulders and all the rest of it. And you look at guys like Cameron, you look at Antman, small sort of skinny guys. And maybe he's just looked at it and said, you're not the profile player I want. Now, that's pure speculation on my part, but it's odd that Antman comes back from injury, gets on the bench and gets absolutely no minutes whatsoever. It's really, really strange. So, you know, I think there's something there. You know, you don't achieve what he has achieved and get the numbers he got in Holland if you're not a decent enough player. But whether he's ever going to show it in Scotland, in this league, remains to be seen. And given that, you know, the running we're now about to have, and it's going to go down to the wire, everyone's got that feeling this is a title race that's going to go down to the wire. Can you really afford to pitch in a guy like Antman who's not really done it and say, right, go and prove yourself at crunch time, mate? That seems like a risk to me.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point, Alan. I mean, I was really surprised, more so against Aaron, but he's brought Matondo on for like the last 20-odd minutes. In fact, Aberdeen, we played Aberdeen before and they brought Matondo on for like the last 20 seconds against it, although I think that was really just take the piss out of them more than anything else. But I found it a bit odd that you've got a guy there signed for £3.5 million quid in the summer and you know, you would think if he is looking to get rid of him and he doesn't fancy him, surely you can get away with playing him against Aaron Athletic and even in the European games, because he's still in the European squad. You know, Scott Wilson, obviously, isn't he in that European squad? He didn't even bring him on Thursday either. So, it's a weird one, but I suppose we'll just need to wait and see. Jamie, I mentioned Finlay Curtis to Alan yesterday. I thought on Thursday when he came on, he was fantastic. Today, came on again, he was okay. I mean, I really like him. I know it seems as if he's going to go to Killy on loan, although I'm also a wee bit miffed as to if that deal was sort of signed and sealed, why he's made two or three appearances for us off the bench. Although, I checked today, I think that was his 10th league appearance today, so that might have been a wee sort of send him off for the manager to say if we do win something in May, you're at least eligible for a medal. So I don't know if that maybe had something to do with it as well. But to be honest, Jamie, I'd keep Curtis around. I think he could still make an impact this season. I'm not saying he's going to start every week or he should be starting every week, but I don't know. There's just something about him that I like, and I think he can get something out of nothing. But at the same time, I think a loan move would also be good for him because he does need to go out and start to play, doesn't he?
Absolutely has to play men's football now. And I'm sure his agent would have had a chat with him to see where he's at. There's no doubt he's a young Rangers player. He's come through the system, which we all love. We all love a story like that. We all love a Barry Ferguson or a, you know, Nathan Patterson story, or getting back to many that's come through that you go, you've just have that normal rapport with them because they're from Scotland and they've come through our system and we always like that. That's normal. Finlay Curtis, young boy, every time I see him, I think he puts in a shift. He's full of effort. I watched him against Alava last week and I thought he was tremendous. I thought he was brilliant. All right, it's, you know, not the best opposition, but you've still got to get there and perform. I've seen many players that we've signed go out there and they'll play against these clubs and they don't show nothing. But he's direct. He gets crosses in the box, put a lovely wee flighted ball in from Jovski in that game to notch a goal with his header. He still gets as many goals as Mijovski and Chermiti this season. He's probably played a tenth of the time they've played. So there's goals in the boy. He hit a great shot the other night with his left foot, cuts in and swears it, you know, nearly went top bins, and it was actually a great save for the keeper. Finlay Curtis, I like. Is he going to play every week? Probably not. The fact they've went out and signed Olsen probably kind of just sealed that, and he's probably went, oh, they've signed a guy on loan, I'm not going to get starting again. It's one of them. Do we keep him and use him off the bench? I would, personally. And I would give him more minutes. I'd look to use him, and particularly, I mean, next game is Thursday against Porto. I said it on the last show. We're not going to do nothing in Europe. They should be playing the likes of Finlay Curtis in these games, in the Scottish Cup games, and just let him have more minutes. The more minutes that boy gets, I think he'll just get better. They're probably looking at it from their point of view and going, is he going to play enough minutes? Is he better going out on loan? It's probably more favourable for him to go on loan and play with Kilmarnock every week and then see where he's at the end of the season. But I don't think he's out of Rangers' plans. I think what I find, obviously in the business as an agent, I think a lot of players get disheartened when a club says to them, we'll put you out on loan, because they feel that they're not featuring in the first team. They get disappointed. Sometimes they need to look at it and go, do you know what? This could really benefit me. I'm going to be playing men's football every week. I'm going to be playing 90 minutes for Kilmarnock every week against all the other opposition. I think they need to look at it more as a positive rather than a negative, you know. But I like him. I feel for the boy because I think he's got a wee bit about him. And to be honest, I'd put him ahead of Ant-Man on that right flank. I don't think he's missing Ant-Man for £3.5 million. But I'll tell you what, if we could get that money back, I would drive up to the airport myself. He said one game where he's played, the rest, he's not good enough. He's not a Rangers player. He's not consistent enough. And I'm glad they've got Olsen in. I think he'll come in and he'll do well. And it gets Kasama back on the left. He's a much better player, effective on the left. Danny Rowe's system, he loves this 4-2-3-1, which I quite like. It works. He's not going to change that. That's definitely his favourite formation. And it looks as if he's going to keep that system. Are we ever going to see? I know we've seen a wee bit of it the other night, Chermiti and Miolski up front together. I don't think he'll ever go with two up front, personally, unless we're chasing a game or something like that. But yeah, Finlay Curtis, it's one of them. I think he's got to decide himself what he's going to do. Is he going to sit down and say, do you know what, I want to stay here, I want to fight for a place, or do I want to get and play 90 minutes every week with Kelly? That's down to the boy's self. But I've got time for him. I think he's got something about him. And it's really down to him and his agent to go and speak to the club and say, look, am I going to get minutes? If I'm not going to get minutes, it's time to just put me out on loan. And take it as a positive. Just go and play well for Kelly. With less pressure on you every week, you're going to get minutes under your belt. And if he shines, you know, the manager's going to take note.
Yeah. No, that's true. That is a bit of a difficult one, though, because he's still... You know, a lot of these young guys go out on loan and they've no played at all. Whereas in Curtis's case, he's still getting minutes. Mm. So for him, that is a big decision for him, because he might only make, if he stays with us, another 8 or 9 appearances this season. But obviously, if he goes out on loan, I also think Kelly's a bit of a weird one, because I actually think he would really suit Motherwell. See the way that they're playing now, I think he would be a really good fit for Motherwell. But then again, maybe we're talking about, you know, Danny Rowe, like, sort of, you know, bigger characters, stronger guys. Maybe he's thinking, send him down to Kelly, send him playing on that pitch, and he's going to be in a relegation dogfight as well, where they're going to be desperate to claw back points every single game, whereas at Motherwell, you know, you're playing all this nice, attractive, expansive football and stuff like that, but... I mean, they're not going to have any pressure on them. Do you know what I mean? They're already high and dry this season. They're delighted. Whereas at Killy, you're going to have to put in a fight and a bit of dig every week. And also, you're going to be working with guys like Neil McCann. So maybe that's a bit of a link there as well for them.
I think that's evident. If that's, you know, that's the case, obviously Neil McCann and Billy Dodds are going to be there. They've obviously worked with the boy when Barry was interim manager. So they've obviously liked what they've seen there and thought, yeah, he'll do for us. I think it could be a strategic move. I think in terms of, you kind of touched on it a wee bit there, Craig. I think what you were trying to say is, I think Andrew Cavanagh and the guys have done a strategic move with Lyle Cameron going to Aberdeen. If it was my young players or anybody I wanted to put on loan, I would definitely be putting them on loan to the likes of Motherwell, to the likes of Aberdeen's, these kind of teams that might even just nick points off Hearts and Celtic and utilise these boys and go and say, look, do you know what? Go and loan to them. Go to Motherwell. You never know. They could actually play against Celtic and Hearts and take points off them, maybe score a couple of goals, set up some goals or whatever. I would go down that route personally. Rather than put them to Kilmarnock, because I don't see Kilmarnock taking points off any of Hearts or Celtic personally. I would put my players to clubs that I think maybe just got a wee chance of nicking points off these two clubs, that, you know, and if they do that, it benefits us.
Yeah, although to be fair, apparently they were pretty close at the start of the season to taking points off Celtic until a wee dubious handball decision went in our favour. But we all know it's a big conspiracy, isn't it? It's a big conspiracy. Alan, in terms of the transfers, obviously we've spoken about a striker. I think that's the obvious one, but is there any other areas that you think we either need starters or you know, just other guys to sort of beef up the squad? I think for me personally, a number six I would quite like. And to be honest, another centre-half. I know we do have quite a few centre-halves, but it's ironic as well, because we've got the best defensive record in the league. And under Danny Rowe, we don't actually look like conceding that much. So you're probably going, well, why am I still looking at another centre-half? I don't know. There's just something about the likes of, you know, De Gea, even Cornelius, Suter as well. I like Suter, but we all know he's prone to a mistake now and then. Even Fernandez, he's done brilliantly in the goals department, but he made a couple of sort of odd passes today as well. So I would still look to strengthen, but again, a lot of it is just on timing and who you can bring in, really. But if it was up to you, who would you, or where else would you be looking to strengthen?
I mean, I think if I had free reign, I probably would look at a number, apart from a striker, I would be looking at a number six. Now, that does seem, the rumours seem to be that that's what we're targeting. Chris Jack, friend of the podcast, was heavily suggesting that's the priority for Rangers for the remainder of the window. So I think just a really competent number six that just knows that position with a bit of experience about them, that frees up the rest of them. A lot of Diamandis come onto a game. Raskin's been performing well. Obviously, we've got Chukwueze now as well. Barron's injured for the next few while, so we're maybe a wee bit short in there. So a six would work well for us. I would, if you'd asked me this a month ago, I'd have said centre half. But I thought Giga played really well today. I thought he used his physicality well. Now, he's been really up and down so far this season, but I do wonder if there's a if there's potential in the Giga and Fernandez partnership, because I've got to be honest, I really like Fernandez. I know he's a bit kind of, the fans look, oh, he's got a mistake in him, he's got this in him, he's got that in him, but, you know, I think he's getting better game by game. Yeah. And obviously, his physicality's great, he's got the frame, and his wee touches, his wee inside, his wee stepping around, okay, it does give you a wee bit of a heart attack at the game, but so far, I don't think he's really cost us a goal for it. You know, for all he keeps doing it, you know, are we getting to the point whereby we can actually trust him to do it properly? And I just think for a boy we've paid $3.5 million for, I think his progress from August till now has been really, really good. And you've got to keep in mind, he didn't really play until, what, October or something like that. And I think he's developing really quickly. And he's becoming, for me, he's becoming close to a first-choice player now. Because I think he's, you know, he's really adapting to the demands of this league. Now, Europe, okay, different kettle of fish there, but we don't need to worry about it for the next 6 months. But even looking at his Parkhead performance, okay, the goal they scored was poor, but it was poor for a number of players, Fernandez included, losing a goal from a throw like that. But think about what he was at Parkhead in the second half. I thought Fernandez played really, really well. You know, and that's our toughest away fixture. And since then, you know, he's been to Pittodrie, and, you know, he did score at Pittodrie, and then obviously they came in and disallowed it. You know, so I think we should persevere with Fernandez. 100% we should persevere with him and see if we can really develop him in the kind of that sort of Bassey mould. Yeah, when he comes in, doesn't play straight away, but once he's in the team, he just develops really, really quickly. Because I'd like to see him in there. Suter will come back, I've got no doubt about that. I've also got no doubt he'll sign a new contract as well. We know what you're getting with Suter. He can play well, he can have a mistake, he can be injured. Sterling is the same kind of boat. You know, we all know what Sterling's good at, and he came in a real asset to the team, but he's just not robust enough. Yeah, and we need to try and pin down the issues that he's got. Cornelius, for me, I thought he's done okay, but for me, he looks largely average. You know, I don't think he's exceptional in any real particular area. I think the suggestion at the time was we've got a $5 million option to buy on him. I wouldn't be paying that for Cornelius. So, you know, I think we persevere with what we've got. And see where we get to, and if we can target a striker and a six for the rest of the window, I think that would represent a very, very promising January transfer window.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Jamie, before we move on to discuss the game on Thursday, we'll finish up our League One by asking you, are we now favourites for the league after today's result?
I think it's in our hands. I think we're on a great momentum run. I think the squad are clearly getting the confidence. They're bought into the new manager or the coach, whatever you want to call him, right? This guy's come in, as I said earlier, he's got us organised. We look as if everybody who puts on that jersey now wants to play for him. That's very evident. He goes about his business brilliant. And I'll tell you, he's done tremendous. To work with the squad that he had when he came in, to turn that round and go on a run like he's went on, and as I said earlier, he's just got his basics right. We're defending better, we've got clean sheets, 5 in a row, we've won 8 games in a row, the belief's there. I don't think we're a million miles away in terms of the squad to win the league this year. I don't think it's a perfect squad. I think we're just a couple of players away. You touched on it there. I think we definitely need cover at centre back. We can only get six players on loan. We've already got, obviously, the three that are actually signed up to the end of the season are Magoma, Dejiga and Mikey Moore. They're definitely here to the end of the season. That's in their deal. I think Cornelius, I don't know. I think he'd probably go. I don't see them spending the money that they're looking for him. So yeah, cover at centre back without a doubt. Further down the line, we're going to have to look at planning for who's going to replace Tav. This will be Tav's last season, I've no doubts about that. And I'll tell you what, I wanted to just say congratulations to him. 100 league goals to him today. I mean, he's been with us a long time through thick and thin. He gets a lot of sticks sometimes, but I'll tell you what, his numbers are great going forward. He always gets goals, and to score 100 goals through there is amazing, really. So I've got a lot of time for Tav. I think he's been through a lot thick and thin. He's been through a lot of poor Rangers sides where he was kind of singled out. He's not a good captain. He's no this, no that. I've always liked him. I think he's good on the ball. Yes, he's susceptible defensively. But, I think long term we need to plan for a quality right back and probably another striker. And they're going to have to plan for Raskin. I think Raskin will go in the summer. And obviously Barron will be back in that kind of six role, I would imagine, by that time. He'll be back playing. But it looks like they're holding on to Raskin. I know they did a couple of bids. One particularly for Tottenham, which I heard was 13.5 million. I know they've turned it down, and rightly so. And that shows their intent. They want to go and win the league this year. I was actually at the Motherwell game where Elliot Watch stood out against us. Spoke to Dan Purdy myself, who's the recruitment guy who came with Kevin Thirlwell. Dan's a good guy. Spoke to him, and he was assuring me. He says, "Like they're going to keep hold of Raskin to the end of the season, because they're going to get top dollar from them." And it looks like he'll be in the squad going to the World Cup for Belgium. So that'll enhance the money that they get for him. So they're going to have to replace him at the end of the season, Raskin, which is a shame because I've got a lot of time for him. I think he was probably made for our next captain for me, the way he's been playing. But it looks as if he's going to go at the end of the summer. So there's three positions there long term they need to look at replacing.
What I will say is, sorry to jump in, but I just checked the fixtures there because I wasn't quite sure of them. But our next run of fixtures, we've got Kilmarnock, Hibs, Motherwell and Hearts. Now, it seems like we say this every month for Rangers, but that run is crucial. Absolutely crucial. See if we can come through that with taking the majority of points. Again, are we going to win them all? Maybe not. But if we could get away with it, maybe only dropping 2 points or something like that, then I think that'll be a real test of this team's mettle. Because we saw it a few years ago under Clement. We went up to Ross County and lost. And then immediately, a few days later, we drew with Dundee. And it just seemed like the squad just couldn't recover from that psychologically. Whereas this team, you know, when we lost to Tynecastle, everyone thought, oh, right, that's it. The team don't have it. The team bottled it and all the rest of it. But they've really bounced back with it. So suddenly you think, actually, does this team have a wee bit of mettle about it? Which you wouldn't really expect. But you never know. But that run of fixtures is going to be very, very important in terms of this running. And it'll be interesting to see how many points we can get out the other side of it. Because if we can come through it with close to maximum, then I think it becomes a reality. And as I say, you know, just to pick up on Jamie's point there, if James Tavernier can captain us through to this a second league title under his captaincy, I'd love him to score the winning goal at Ibrox, have that moment with the fans where we win the league on our own patch, and then he signs off into the sunset with his testimonial. That'd be a fitting end for a brilliant servant. And we would need to peel Scott Bradley off the ceiling if that was to happen.
Oh,
so
God.
Let's hope that's how the season ends. And I would be a contented man if it did.
Do you know what? It would be good for the club, but sometimes it's nice to see your pal smile as well. So Scott will forgive me. We hope it happens as well.
As I've said in this pod before, Scott sits just a few seats away from me at Ibrox. And the stick he takes off his mates that sits next to him with Tav, I hear every word of it, and I feel for him. So for him to have that wee moment in the stands, I would pay good money for that, you know. So here's home.
Fair play. So obviously we've got a game on Thursday against Porto. I'm looking forward to it, mostly because I'll be there, but it's meant to be thunder and lightning. So that's good. It just means we can console ourselves and all the dive bars that Porto has to offer. I'm not paying any more, sorry, than €1.50 for a bottle of Silver Buck. Any minute I'll feel ripped off. But Jamie, I mean, normally going into these games, you'd be like, right, it's a big game, you know, we're up for it. And, well, that's partly why, you know, we were all excited booking it at the start of the draw, because you're thinking, right, we'll be in that position, that could be a big game to either go to the top eight or go through the playoffs. Not complete dead rubber. Didn't expect it at the time, but yeah, I'm no missing out on the money that I paid for it, so I'm going to go anyway. But I mean, to be quite honest, it is a bit of a difficult one for the manager, because we know about this coefficient thing, and people can correct me if I'm wrong, but I do think after we won last Thursday, basically if we get a point or more against Porto, that would mean if we do win the league this year, we will be guaranteed the Champions League spot regardless, I think. So in that sense, we kind of do need to get something in order to try and guarantee that for ourselves if we do win the league. Although at the same time, we still need to win the league, and that is the most important thing. And I mean, we look at the Champions League next year, if we do need to qualify, I think it would be what a couple of qualifiers, we should still qualify. If you look at the quality of side that Celtic faced, I know that was a bit of a freak result for them, but you would expect us to go through over two legs against a side like that. And I think that was actually one of the best teams that Celtic could have got as well. So I'm kind of no too bothered about this whole sort of thing, because I would still fancy us in the qualifiers anyway. You would like to do it, obviously, automatically, but I mean, Sunday as well. Next Sunday's a huge game. And it'll be interesting to see how Hibs approach it, because, I mean, David Great seems as he's under a bit of pressure there now. Obviously, it's a game against Rangers, so normally they'll be up for it. But at the same time, I don't think they want Hearts to win the league. So you don't know how they're going to approach it. But, I mean, next Sunday against Hibs is by far the most important fixture of the week. I don't care what anyone says.
Yeah.
So, like you've said before, Jamie, I'm kind of inclined to just go with likes of Curtis and whatnot, maybe even Ant-Man as well, to put him in the shop window.
Yeah, just
say to the players, just go out there, play your game, there's no pressure. And actually, sometimes when that happens, you can get some decent results as well,
there's no pressure on any of them there. I think there's probably four or five players that will come into the equation. Guys that are needing minutes, Ant-Man, Max Harris will probably come in for Tav at the right back. Bajrami probably get minutes. Finlay Curtis, Insiala. I think there'll be four or five changes, but it is important. I think if we can get this point, because there's no doubt in my mind, Andrew Kavanagh and the 49ers are gearing up for Champions League football, and I think they've invested in this window. And they've got intent to go and win the league. They've shown that. And nobody else has really done that, which is very surprising, particularly across the other side of the city. They've not done a great deal. I think they're looking to go and get automatic Champions League spot. And that money will finance what their plans are for the stadium. So there's huge plans there. And I think I really fancy us to go and win this league now. Before the Christmas period, we were coming into a period where we had Aberdeen twice and we're going to Celtic and we had Motherwell, and I'm going, I would take 9 points out of 12 of that. We came out the other side, it was 12 out of 12, and those four fixtures were harder on paper. And when you think back to when Danny Rule first came in, that was his first win away from home. That was our first win in a year away from home at Easter Road. We won 1-0. It was ugly, but we went there and we rolled our sleeves up and we got a result, and it was a good performance in terms of their team performance. Everybody was, you know, up for the battle, and they're going to need that on Sunday. So I think he'll rest key players. I think Tav, he knows, he's held now that Tav's not going to play two games a week. I think he'll rest him on Thursday, and I think he'll probably be back in the squad playing on Sunday. So there'll be four or five changes, but an ideal chance for guys on the bench to go and prove a point and say, look, I'm still here. Have a look at me. You know, they can roll their sleeves up and go out there with no pressure, as we said, and put in a performance.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely. Alan, what's your kind of take on Thursday in terms of how we should look at it?
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, I'm just thinking, yeah, play a second 11. Don't worry too much about it. But you know what it's like. It'll get to, what, half five on Thursday, and I'm sort of, you know, see the team. And actually, I think we can do this. You know, I think we need to do this. You know, you change in the build-up to the game a little bit, because it is potentially really, really important for us. If we can somehow come away with a point, then it just sets everything up nicely. You know, it just gives us that extra impetus to go and win the league. And if you can somehow do it, you know, your budget's exponentially increased. You can plan ahead. You know, it gives the manager a massive boost. It just, it's got more riding on it than we'd like to have riding on it. I think we're a wee bit unlucky in that Porto last week, their result meant they have to beat us basically to guarantee top eight, which is a bit of a shame. But look, we just need to go out, give our best shot, and what will be. I agree with you. You know, if we can win the league, get into the champions route of the qualifiers, we need to try and get through those, and we should trust ourselves to get through those. But, you know, I think there's going to be ups and downs between now and the end of the season. But, you know, I think it's, you know, now that the podcast's almost finished, I'm going to go and watch sports scenes. I've not seen any of the action from Tynecastle today, but I do hear that these days in Scottish football, the referees give out blue cards or something like that. So I need to go and look at it and try and find out what this blue card was that certain managers are talking about. So I'm looking forward to that, but let's hope for a good few more blue cards between now and the end of the season, you know.
Well, as long as it's not us that's picking them up, I'll be happy. Some funny words for Derek McInnes earlier, so fair play with him. But it has been a good Sunday, all in all, guys. It'll be Ben and Stuart on Friday to review that game in Porto, and preview Sunday's fixture at Easter Road. As I say, we're live on YouTube this evening, and we'll be on all of your usual podcast providers in the coming moments as well. All that's left to do now is thank my guests. Alan, thanks for coming on, mate.
No, good to see you again, gents. Enjoy your week.
Yep, and Jamie, thanks for coming on as usual, mate.
That's a pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.
And thanks to the guests at home. See you soon, guys. Bye-bye.
See you, guys.